everybody. Welcome back to Currency Roundtable number 8 with our special guest panelist, hopefully not so special in the future that he gets on here more and more often. We have Mr. Silver Surfer on. How about that? Say hello, Mr. Silver Surfer.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for having me. It's been a while since I've made a couple of videos in general, and it's been a while, actually never, I should say, that I've been on this. So I'm pretty excited to join you guys today. Y'all have been doing very, very good work and very entertaining always to watch these. So I'm hoping I can contribute a little bit to that today and have a friendly dialogue.
Well, I'm just excited to have some, you know, new targets to poke fun at. So I'm speaking of targets.
I'm an easy one, so it's not that hard, I promise.
Oh, speaking of targets, Ontario, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Doing well.
You are, and I'm gonna save my date for last, Mr. Stu Plubeck, Currency. Good long how time no see.
Yeah, no kidding. I am still full from our dinner. Man, was that good.
let's talk a little bit about Mr. Silver Surfer, because you know, you came back from your service, and by the way, again, thank you for your service for our country.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Sincerely appreciated by all of us, I know. But let's hit him up for, you know, this weird eclectic stuff that you've all of a sudden, not all of a sudden, that you've gotten into lately since you got back. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, sure. So I guess I've always been kind of a collector, obviously, and had interests within antiques. You know, I grew up, my mom was a big collector, still is to this day, with some strange things, but also some cool things. My grandfather on my dad's side, never met the gentleman, but nonetheless, he left a pretty large amount of different antiques and stuff. And he was a tinkerer and would also go kind of picking and things along those lines back in his time. And so I remember having a huge yard sale when I was a kid. I snagged a couple things, some random little toy cars and a vase and this and that. And then, you know, when I was fairly young is when I inherited my small little coin collection. But I think that's what all kind of started and sparked my interest in all this stuff. But fast forward now that I have an occupation and earn a living and have money to spend sometimes. that interest in all these types of items have really kicked off. And so not that I am by no means over collecting coins or currencies or anything like that. That is not the case. I've gotten to a point where I'm pretty satisfied with what I've built over the past decade or so. And also, focusing on a lot of quality kind of things with, for instance, the Gobert dollar I got not too long ago. I actually sold off a large lot to Tylon Platinum the third just last year, and then ended up reliquidating that into that piece. And so mostly focusing on some big items, some quality kind of items, things like that. And I have some stuff on the horizon and radar. But in the meantime, all these other types of antiques have really sparked my interest. To me, anything really from post-Civil War to pre-World War II, I feel were the best times in American craftsmanship. I mean, any of that kind of stuff, I just dig it. Me being in the military, as mentioned, the Navy, guilty. I have a big desire and passion to, you know, find naval-themed kind of antiques. And so it's all kind of being brought together in somewhat of a weird way. And so, yeah, it's a different way to share what I got out there. Hopefully you guys are digging it. If not, I'll keep sharing it anyways. I don't really care. But anyways, that's kind of where I'm at. And it's been a lot of fun doing it. A lot of fun learning about it. The reference library is growing tremendously. Just got a couple more in the mail. And I got a lot more videos to make and bore you guys to death with. So that's me in a nutshell. That's me recently in my latest endeavors.
any questions? Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Dan, you always refer to me as the person that inspired you to do all of the stuff that you do. And I just want to say that when I got started, I've told you guys before, I got started doing videos so that I would remember things. But it was Silver Surfer who started leaving comments on my stuff and encouraged me to keep going and keep doing what I was doing. So Silver Surfer, I have to say thank you, because everything that's on my channel wouldn't be there without just that little nudge of encouragement that you gave me.
It's humbling to hear that, is what I'm trying to say. Well,
I mean, it is. I mean, you were one of the, I don't know how I tripped across you, Silver Surfer, but I'm glad I did. Anything else before we get going? All right, that's it. Ontario 100. No, you don't want to verbally abuse Silver Surfer at this point?
No, I was just going to say that I enjoy history, so I enjoy everything that he does.
It's one of the things I think we all have in common. I'm probably too deep into that, but there's always, I mean, all, I think that's what our little group that I've reached out and connected with, there's always more information behind the coin and behind the note. I think we all go beyond that. What's the story, Steve? It's all about this.
Right. That's what brings us to it.
Yep. 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 All right.
Yeah, 100%.
Enough of that. Again, last time, welcome, Silver Surfer. We have wanted
you
on since the get-go, but you had to do your service. You're back, and we're looking to have you, you know, be a regular part of this whenever you can.
I appreciate it. You guys are doing good things.
You've already been nominated as a permanent panelist, and it's one of those things. And we are without Mr. Dustin Witte today. He was going to be here, but he's got one of those jobs that he had to get to, and he had to go. So he might pop in. He's got the invitation. We got kind of a text saying, hey, I'm busy. So if he pops in, he pops in. If he doesn't, he doesn't. We got to move on. And I'll miss verbally abusing him. So what our subject is today, our subject for what we're talking about, it's takeoff. It's we did the large size, top large size notes that if you're a collector that's new or, you know, converting from coins, these are the top small size notes that we would recommend that we think you should have in your collection sooner. Or if you're going to get one small size note, this would be on that list. They are kind of in order how we each have ranked them. But keep in mind, we're going to start out and, Silver Surfer is going to go first. So if he has my top one, I'm going to move to my second. If I have the second and Steve's is same thing, he's going to go down to his third. So it doesn't mean when we bring up a note that that's our top note, but we'll talk about it. Say, oh, that was mine. You know, why'd you take it? And then cry me a river because, you know. And that is the 1891 $1 Treasury note.
Ah, dadgummit, Dan.
I wanted to talk about it. But we'll each have a chance to comment it. But we got to keep going a little bit because we want to try to get in 12 notes. So I have no promises. We might only get to 8 and try to keep it to an hour because that's enough. All right. With that said, everybody, ready to go?
Ready.
Ready.
Silver Surfer, you are up with the first selection of the day.
All right. So if I was a new collector and I was looking to buy one single note, small size note, that is, I got a list, but we'll just start with the top one here. I think that is fairly simple. And most of the ones I chose today, too, by the way, guys, are in like 2024, fairly affordable. All right. I'm not getting something that's a couple $1,000 or anything like that. But in reality, $100 nowadays doesn't get you very far, right? So I think that's fair game, if you guys would agree or not. But anyhow, yeah. I think if I were to choose one single note, which I really enjoy, especially a nice, good XF or above, it'd have to be the 1966 $100 legal tender. Such an interesting note. And before we had the big colorized, non-colorized changes to the currency that we have nowadays, you know, the small size, small heads, hundreds that most of us here and pretty much everybody would still remember, they were easy to even get kind of mixed in with those per se, because they look so darn similar. And the majority of the public probably wouldn't even have noticed that there was anything too striking about it besides, oh, this is red and the other ones are green. The other thing is that it's relatively very affordable.
Yes,
you have to spend $100 in face value, but you still have the $100 in face value afterwards. So I don't know. What are they going for nowadays, guys, in XF? A couple hundred? Something like that? Raw?
Right around two is what I've been seeing.
200? That's what I figured. 20. I mean, I think I paid, I want to say, like $135 or something like that for mine. This is a while ago.
$150. Mine's decent. Now,
yeah,
but the story behind those,
exactly.
Those were printed because there is a law that says there has to be so many legal tenders in circulation, right. So much worth of legal tenders. And right. Those were printed just to fulfill that. They right. weren't necessarily even meant to go into circulation. That's the
right.
Whole
right.
322 yeah. million had to be in yeah. circulation. Yep.
Well, yeah. No, they had to be printed, whether they were actually released or not.
No, they were had to be in circulation. But read the law, 1878. But what was in circulation was a treasury bill. Was
right.
Circulation. Right.
Yeah.
Cool. The pricing on that, because, okay, that was number, we're going to go right to Ontario. Comments.
Oh, no, great choice. I mean, only 1 year. You know, I love right. the red seal. You know, yeah.
You get those things in solid grade, and it just, it's like fire truck engine yeah, red.
Absolutely.
Just, it's like, bam, you know. Even the 28s and the earlier ones as well, but I don't know. It's something that's a lot more affordable
right.
than getting something that high grade that early, you know. And it's fun, and people chip out on it. You're still in the hundo, and they're like, whoa, you know.
Yeah.
It's different.
Accessibility is important, that you can actually find them.
Right.
The other thing.
Yes. Yeah, it's interesting because yeah. you go with the $2 and the $5, and then you'd assume that there'd be a $10, but nope, they skip all yeah. the way up to $100.
All the way up to the 100. You know what would have been cool, in my opinion, would be a 20 of that. That would have been pretty yeah. pretty
with,
awesome.
With yeah. Theodore Roosevelt on it? That was one of my first videos I mocked
yep.
up. With Theodore Roosevelt on it. Anything else, Steve? Yes.
No, like I said, the story, there is the 1966 and the 1966A, but I mean, just all the more reason to have two of them, get one of each year. Yeah.
Right.
But actually, I think those are ridiculously undervalued.
Yeah, agreed.
That's the other thing.
That's yeah. what I was hoping you'd say, because you're the one that taught me that, Steve, or yeah. pointed that out. They are super undervalued. Now, I did a quick... You know, comparing what Blue Book is, I put, because that was number three on my list. So thanks, Silver Surfer.
Sorry.
Nope, don't be, because that's
I got a random one that nobody's going to choose. Okay.
That's a worthy one to start off with. But here's what I mean. So in an F-15, I found pricing about $150 right now in an F-15 ungraded. Right. And a graded price started at VF-20 starts about $300. So, I mean, these are all guesstimates, but that one, you know, they're still super affordable and the most undervalued note. Steve, hit it. That is it.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Next up, great selection, Mr. Silver Surfer, is Ontario. What do you got for us?
Okay. A small size gold certificate.
All right.
You can get a 10, a 20. A 50 or 100, depending on your budget. I love these with the big gold seals. Short run. They only made these notes for about 4 or 5 years. This was right at the end, just before gold was withdrawn from circulation. So you have that history behind it. So that would be my choice. Small size gold certificate.
Awesome. Well, my turn up first. To comment, yeah, great story, great history. A small size note that connects back to the Civil War from its bigger, large size brother, because you guys right. know I'd like that type of thing. There was over 130 million, almost 131 million printed, and somebody in 1973 did a study that they estimate that only 88% of all 1928 small size have been redeemed or destroyed. And wow. So they do carry a premium, but I thought it was funny because I had the $10 listed, you know, specifically as the right. starting point, because Ontario, that's why it's a great selection. You want to spend a gazillion dollars, get the 100, because
right.
you will. The 50 and the 100, there is a significant
yes.
price jump between the 20 and the 50.
But especially right now too, those things have shot up through the roof. Any of the small size golds as well as obviously the 500 and 1000s. But sorry to cut you off. Just wanted to point that out.
Cut me off. Believe me, I need it. But here's what I thought, pricing thing. And so non-graded prices, and I double checked this and went a little bit deeper and went over to Heritage and eBay comparing. Yeah. So non-graded pricing on a 10. Now this is a 10.
Right.
Was starting at $150 for a fine 15.
Mm-hmm.
Graded, I easily found $180 starting at fine 15 to VF 20 for graded notes for $180 to $200. I thought that was really strange that the price gap was not there like it was on the 100, on the 1966 100. So that's my two observations, meaning if you want a really nice graded gold certificate, go after, look at that 10, track that down.
Doesn't cost you that much more, correct. Yeah.
But I just thought the gap was pretty small.
Yeah.
All right, so Silver Surfer, you're the next to comment.
Sorry, I just got done sneezing away. Yeah, great choice. The 10, I agree as well, would be the most affordable, the, you know, probably most readily available, et cetera. I think the first one I actually bought, I don't have the 50, I don't have the 100. They're on the list. But the 20, I want to say it was the first one I ever got. And I think I paid like $100 for it. Maybe $110. Yeah, about $100, something like that, back in the day.
Yeah.
It's raw, but it's actually a pretty solid grade too.
Cool.
And then I can't remember where I got the 10 at, but great choice, great note. They look great. Super popular, super in demand. You know, never ever have a problem if you ever needed to sell it in the future or anything like that. I wouldn't spend it, you know, but I would definitely consider selling it if you could. Yeah. Don't spend it. Don't spend it, guys.
I'll remember
it's
that.
Worth more.
McDonald's.
All right. Just don't do something like that, Polar. All right. But no, great choice.
I also have I've got the 10, I've got the 20. I'm missing the 50 and the 100. But what I was going to say is do as I say, not as I do. If you're going to get one, I would be leaning more toward the 50.
Okay.
One of the things that I always say is if you're going to choose a denomination, choose the rarest denomination. If you want to collect something, I would lean toward that 50, even though I don't even have it yet. If you're talking about making one of these notes a keynote, get a nice 50. That gold certificate and both the 100 and the 50 are also going to be on my new top 10 wish list.
Yeah.
And I thought for sure, Ontario, since you're rolling around in gold yourself, you had the 500 and 5,000, 10,000. I thought you had the set.
Well, one doesn't want to show off everything.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm just concerned about the condition of the money when you throw it on the bed and you just roll around in it.
One other reason, Polar, why you like coins, because that's why. They don't get damaged when you roll around.
True. Very true.
It's like Scrooge.
I really should have done a warning. I will insert a warning before I go with that. That's a great... Yeah. Great pick. That was actually number two on my list.
Yeah, that was number three on mine.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't rank mine, but both of those notes were on my list. So,
yes. All right, I guess I'm up with my top one, and I feel like I'm cheating. This is my favorite note by far. The $10 World War II 1934 A Silver Certificate North Africa note.
Dang it. Another on my list. I'm going to have to grow the list longer.
I mean, the combination, you know, of yellow and the blue together, Steve,
absolutely. You've
talked about multiple times, but how unusual that is. There's no other note that does that. Besides the North Africa series. And the 10 with the bigger numeral on the left, it's just bigger, right, than the 5 or the 1. Five is right behind. The story, obviously, behind it, it's just so, so great. The $10, $21.2 million were issued compared to Series 1934 regular $10 certificate. $163 million were issued. And again, these were just issued for North Africa and for Italy, to paying armed services personnel. They were the precursor to military payment certificates that didn't come along until 1960, really allied military currency is what they were the precursor to. They're affordable. And again, this is what I love. You can get one for under $100. It still looks good. And that's going to fall into the VF20 range on the $10, ungraded. You can hunt, but you can find them. And then if you want one graded, this is another one. I found graded prices at VF25 and 30 for $130. Mr. Silver Surfer, you are up on the comment on that.
Yeah, very, very good choice as well. I love those. I'm more of a five guy just because I love Abe Lincoln. But anyways, the other thing that I'll say about that, which I'm proud owner of one of them, is those in Starred are just wild. They're just absolutely out of control. I love them. The only other cooler five that's Starred small size is a Hawaii Note, which I'm still bitter about 3, 4, 5 years later, whatever it was, when I lost on Heritage. I think I bit up to about $1,000 and some jerk off beat me on 1,100. But anyways, now that note's a hell of a lot more and I can't afford it. And so that's why I'm angry. But my 5-star North Africa is one of my prized possessions that I have. Posted the video.
Yeah.
Maybe Paul, you can find that and pop that thing up there, because that is a cool friggin' note. And the whole, I love the 1 as well. I love the 10, but the 5, I have all of them. And I only have the 5 in Star. And it's a great note. Good choice.
Steve.
I've got the 1 for both North Africa and Hawaii as Star notes. They aren't in very good shape at all. I don't care. I have them. That, how many times have I held up that empty case going, this is where this note is going to go? No, I've got a Star, and you're right. Just to see those Stars like that, they are so cool. Just to retouch on what you said about the colors on that North Africa note, you've got the black ink for George. You've got the blue ink for the denomination. You've got the gold ink for the seal. You flip it over, you have the green ink, and then you have the actual white of the paper. So there's more of a rainbow on that note than there are on the rainbow notes, it seems. You know, the 1869 rainbow series. So yeah, that is the modern day rainbow set, if you want to look at it that way, especially if you include the Hawaii as well, because then you get to add the browns as well. But yeah, the 5 is supposed to be the keynote in the set. But for the virtually the same price, you can get the 10 and the 20. It's a higher denomination.
You're talking Hawaiian 20. There's no 20 in the North Africa.
Right.
All right. Just want to make
sure. But yeah, the North Africa notes, yeah, only go up to 10. There's the one.
But you're right. The pricing is not different. I mean, and the 5s were the workhorses. Those are the ones that are, they're always in crappier condition and same price, right? Yeah.
Yeah. The 1s, people tend to save them because they were only $1. But the 5s, well, that was money back then. That was, you know, real money. So it was a little harder to save.
Ontario.
Yeah. I mean, you talk about history in your hands. I mean, when you're holding a note like that, North Africa note, you know, imagine circulated one. If it could talk, you know, there's no telling where it's been, what it's seen. So I like that aspect of it, the World War II aspect of it, the fact that it was issued the way it was in case the government needed to quickly demonetize it. I think that's interesting.
Yes.
So same thing for the Hawaii note. They issued a special way so they could flip the switch if they needed to.
One weird aspect of that, Stu, coming up to your comments of the multicolors, because exactly, but just FYI, at the same time, if you haven't checked out the Filipinos currency that they were printed for the Philippine country, yeah, the BEP was printing that, and you should see the colors that they put on that as well as all the different colors on the back, because at the same time these were being printed, we were making the Filipino currency, and they're just gorgeous. So I got to put a quick plug in. I'm sure everybody fell asleep. It was like, oh, World Bank note. I'm not going to listen.
The Victory Series.
Yes, yes. All right. So that's closing that out. What? Steve, you are up. All
right. Let me see here. Cross this one off. All right. I'm going to semi-break the rules.
Good.
Only semi-breaking the rules, because it is a small size note. But the price is not small size. And the reason I'm bringing this one up is because if you get one of these, it probably will be the keynote in your collection for some period of time. I'm going to go with the most realistic large denomination, the $500 small sized note, either the 1928 or the 1934 version of that. If you can find a light green seal, that's the way to go. And if you can find one from one of the more rare districts, like, I don't know, Minneapolis, for a good price, that would be where I would be looking for to have a keynote in your to have a keynote in your set.
Next. All right, everybody. Watch the video of Stu and Dan's big adventure for currency. And if the would have credit card, and I will bleep that, but I mean it. Anyway, but you know, that's one of those, you know, yeah, I had a chance to buy it at the right price, at the right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But it still hurts to this day. And even not too long ago, I could have, there was a perfect one. Common, I think it was Chicago or whatever, for the Federal Reserve. But the, gosh, what was he asking? It was like in the high sevens, I want to say. It was actually, Polar was the shop I sent you to when you came and visited.
Oh, yeah.
The note, I think it was like $775 he was asking or something. And I was like,
For a 500.
I'll get for a 500. And I was like, it was raw, whatever, but it was solid looking shape still. Good, easy VF. And I was like, maybe I should buy this. And then I was already like buying something else. And so I left. And then I go, you know what? I'll come back the next day and get it. And I called the next day and it was sold. Those of you out there, Stu, and yeah, everybody else that's got them, lucky you, you know, yeah, lucky you guys. You're sitting on a nice one.
Ontario?
Yeah, a great choice. I mean, the large denomination, it's unusual. Most people have never seen them.
Right.
They take a look at them and they think, oh, is that real? But it is.
Yeah.
And you were talking about how the prices have gone up. Since I'm the oldest one in the group, I'll tell an old story. Yeah. I remember seeing those things at shows in the 70s. And they would buy them for just a few dollars over face. They wouldn't pay you a whole lot for them.
Killing me.
I had a dealer that I knew at the time offer me a $1,000 bill. Are you ready for this? For $1,025. He said, I'm trying to get 1040. Nobody will buy it. Give me 1025 and you can have it today. But you also have to remember, this was the 1970s. That was a lot more money than it is now. And I said, man, I can't tie up that much money in one bill. You know, it was nice, but I didn't buy it. And you could buy the 500s for like 520, 525. You know, they were laying around everywhere. But I wish I'd bought one earlier.
You know, I can see back Ontario in the 70s. I mean, that was like a third of a house down payment. Well, I mean, not the house value. I mean, but if the houses were like 30 grand back then.
I mean, yeah, a used car then. I mean, you could buy a really nice car for $1,000.
Right. Who knew that you got a Pinto?
Right. Just don't back up. Yeah.
So great, great pick. I mean, if you're going to pick one note, Steve, that is at least reachable, that high end note, that is it. All right, great, great first round of picks. So we are back up. Silver Surfer, you're up.
A $1 Federal Reserve note, okay? However, I know, striking, right? However, this note has to be of a fancy serial type of some sort. Things I'm thinking for beginner-wise would be a low, super radar, or repeater, and like a binary. Like one of those choices, in my opinion, would just be a good choice for them.
I'm going to disagree just from the aspect of the binary, because who in their right mind would buy a bunch of 0.5 binaries?
And I don't know.
Every single type that you can get and then sell it for a coin. I don't know if I'd ever let anybody on our show that would do that.
I know. But, you know how that was such a hunt too. gentlemen to get that. That was fun. That was one of the coolest things I've put together.
It was.
And I sold it back to the guy who I bought most of the notes from. But no, I mean, a fantasy of some sort. So, and what I was mentioning, binary, true binary, I should have specified. My bad. A 0101. Yeah. So, yeah. So you can make it as cheap as you want, or you make it as expensive as you want. But I think everyone should own one's fancy serial note. That means something to them. My favorite, if you had to choose it, is the note I posted before on 9/11. It is 0901 2001. Excuse me.
Oh wow!
It's on a $1 note. The seal is from New York City or New York, and so the letter B. And it's also courtesy autographed by the secretary and of the treasurer. And it's graded 30, I want to say, the old school PCGS grade. But that's a very special note. One that I only know two other that exists, a $10 and a $20. But this note will be buried with me or whatever, go to the kids and all that kind of stuff. It means a lot to me, obviously. Meaning the service and that kind of thing, as I'm sure it does to everybody else here in the country. Yeah, it's a very cool note. So fancy serial note, folks. Get one.
Great pick. Good story. I'm glad I don't want to follow that. Steve, any comments?
he didn't focus on one or two notes there, but any fancy serial number. Okay.
Yeah.
Just keep in mind, searching through straps, when you stumble across one of those fancy serial numbers, is such a cool joy. So don't run out to buy one. Always be on the hunt for them. Now, there are some that you may have to buy. If you were talking about getting a salad or a super radar or something like that, I've searched 300,000 notes, and the lowest number I've found was only a 4-digit. I've never even found a 3-digit for a loan.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of 3-digits, only two, but they're tough. You're right. They're very tough. Others I've had the lows I've had to buy, obviously.
But I've managed to find a super radar in circulation. Those notes are out there. But stuff like, a ladder, the super radars, the solids, especially if you can get them graded in really good condition, something like that's going to hold their value really well. Now, there's a whole group of people just making up different terms as far as what a fancy serial number actually is. Be aware of what you're getting. If somebody calls it a fancy serial number, check to see how fancy that number actually is. But anything we've mentioned here most certainly would qualify. You were talking about binaries. You did mention you were referring to true binaries. Correct. The first binary I ever found was a true binary, and I thought, oh, this is easy. And I have never found another one since. So
make sure you're getting, because he's exactly correct. There's so much made up BS and all this stuff, and it drives me absolutely crazy on this page with all these people thinking they hit the next, gold mine, and it's a quote broken ladder, and nothing against it. It's just there's fancy and there's not fancy, right? It goes down to the mathematical numbers of how much this stuff's printed and what and how they actually become fancy. And so it's not easy, right? It shouldn't be easy, or everyone would be doing it.
Ontario. Exactly.
Oh, fancies. I've just started getting into them myself. As you know, with the small head tens, I love it. Still got an awful lot to learn, but I learned from these guys. So
I love that you're doing the tens. I mean, Silver Surfer, I appreciate the one FRN, but I could choke on them. But because you just, I'm sorry. I compliment Ontario 100's collection, because that 10, it's unique. And I get you can't strap search them, but.
No,
you can't buy those. I think that's really awesome, Ontario. But
just like these guys said, if you search around, you don't have to pay a lot of money for them.
No, I mean, you don't. I mean, my 2 cents. Yeah, great suggestion, Silver Surfer. I do appreciate that that's a good recommendation. What drives me crazy, I wonder about the value. Star Note, just throw that out, put that aside. But I mean, they keep making them. Like some guy just spent, a buddy of mine, Dean, showed me somebody spent $1,000 on, it wasn't a true binary, let's put it that way, which is one of the higher ones in my book. It wasn't, $1,000 or whatever.
Yeah,
we just saw that. Yeah, it's really funny because a old time fancy serial note collectors dude Larry has taught me a whole bunch of different things. I see him at shows all the time. I mean, I'm always fighting for the fancy booth, which there never are any, but yeah, if there is. And he posted that like a few days ago, that same note graded. Was it sold at Heritage?
Yes.
Yes. And it was like $1,200 or something, right? Yeah. I was, yeah, that's what it was. And he was like, who the hell bought this? This is absurd for this radar. And I was like, yeah, like, it's kind of crazy. But well, anyways.
And so that's, and I'm again, no disrespect to fancies whatsoever.
No.
Too bad yeah. Justin isn't here to participate in this, but he'd be yelling at you, Silver Surfer, to take in his subject anyways. that would have been his number one, let's be honest. But they're going to make more of them. And this is what I learned from Steve. They're always going to be making more of them. So how many more of those sixes are going to be made?
Oh, yeah, but I mean... John?
Yeah?
Is it 666-33666?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So apparently this is $1,000 is what you're saying.
Well, I mean, maybe the zeros make it more money. Again, I don't know. Why would it?
Yeah, and that it shouldn't make it that much money, though. Nowhere near. He overpaid for that.
Enough of this fancy crap. I'm cutting you
off. All right, sorry. We're still on the fancies?
I know.
Who started this conversation? Jeez Louise. I had this douchebag guest on, and look what happens.
Yeah. Anyways, all right. With that said, again, now it's Ontario's turn to pick up those pieces.
Okay.
What's your name? What do you got up?
Picking up pieces here. My next note, or notes, I should say, is actually a set of three notes. And my next suggestion is a series 1934 silver certificate, $1, $5, and $10. These are not expensive, easy finds, fun, and the $1 bill is a funny back. So
that's
my next choice.
I'll go up first. I mean, yes, specifically that series of the 1934s because of that funny back. It's a good series. And to hear that, you know, I love, you know, I can spend a lot of money. I can spend a little bit of money for right. $100. You can pick up all three notes and that's cool. A great, great selection. You know, and this was all happening right in the middle of the Depression when these things were.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
They were work. That was a lot of money. A lot of money.
$10 especially was a lot of money.
Yep. Okay. Silver Surfer, comments on the 1934 silver certificates.
It's by far the best of the silver series. That's for sure. I like it better than the 28s. I like it better than the later years as well. For all the reasons you guys have said, I mean, the big blue seal, the big blue numerals are what does it for me. So yeah, great choice.
Steve.
Yeah. I'm a fan of that blue numeral. The 34 series is what has that numeral, the 35. And then you've got the 35 A, B, C, D, E, F, G. They do not have the numeral. So when you're talking about all of the different silver certificates, it's the 34 series that has that blue numeral. That's what makes the 34 so beautiful. And then if you want to go back to the one itself, we call them funny backs. That's what they're called. They're called funny backs because with all of the 35s and all of the different 35 series out there, they have the modern back. So if you were to flip through all these silver certificates, one of these would jump out and that back would be funny looking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
We even call it looking like Monopoly money. But the truth is that when the game Monopoly first came out, they looked to American currency, especially the back of the one, for the design of their own money. So we sit there and say, that looks like Monopoly money to us, where it's actually the opposite being true. The Monopoly money looked like our currency.
Yeah. Classic. All right. I'm going to get going. I'm going to start my first one that I'm cheating at. Small size. My third selection is any continental, revolutionary, colonial currency. They're small.
They are small.
They are small, so I'm saying small size currency. I'm cheating.
All right.
I mean,
I like it.
I mean, to own one, Silver Surfer, and I think all of us can appreciate, to own a piece of Americana like that that dates back to the Revolutionary War period time, 250 years or before the Revolutionary War. Steve, I'm going to let you talk about what you're going to talk about on the comment, and I hope you do, but that's another reason why you can get that. It's super odd denominations. You want to get a one, you want to get a two, you want to get a $9 bill. They
Yeah,
have
and some
really
strange ones,
right,
et
strange,
cetera.
cool, odd denominations.
Yeah.
They're ranked, one of them is ranked 48 and 100 greatest American notes. So if you get a cousin of one of the ones, I'd count that. Is that you?
Yeah.
You've got
Yeah.
it. But my word of advice is get it in graded condition. There's a lot of fakes going around.
Yeah.
Make sure you buy one that it has been graded. And plus, pricing starts at $200 in and around there and goes up, but not very quickly. It doesn't just jump to go up the graded ladder. So I being a history guy, this one is a fantastic note for me that everybody should have in their collection. Steve, or sorry, Silver Surfer's up first.
Yeah, I mean, you need a PhD sometimes to be able to navigate through all this information of the those types of notes. I mean, you can get so in depth on the history of them and the signature blocks and who signed it and what that person do. And I mean, it'd be rabbit hole central. I have one. I own one. I can't even remember what the denomination is. It's so strange. I got it from Dustin Winnie. There you go. But it's also a fancy serial number. That's why I got
I was gonna jokingly ask him.
Wow.
I recommend getting one. And I definitely recommend getting it graded unless you're the expert. But yeah, good choice. I like it.
Steve.
When I'm driving Uber, I have it in my description that I have a YouTube channel about currency, and people will always ask questions about that. And one of the most frequent questions I get is, what is the oldest note you have? The oldest note I have is a 1759 Delaware Continental 20 shillings note. And that alone sounds impressive. To have a piece of paper, it's not paper, but to have a piece of paper from 1759. Let's face it, at this point, that's a historical document.
Yeah, for
Now,
sure.
that is cool enough in and of itself. But then you turn the note over and it says printed by Benjamin Franklin. I mean, mic drop. So yeah, I would certainly say that Continental and Colonial, yeah, they're small. They're small. It's definitely a small size note. But also about that note, even though that has that kind of story to go with it, I picked it up for $100 because the person didn't realize that it said printed by Benjamin Franklin on it.
Well,
And
I
even
mean,
that
there
still
is
only
that
books for like
line.
four. Yeah.
I mean, there's like three lines with that. There's that one. Then, because he owned the printing company, his name's not on it. There's that, and then there's every once he sold, because
The
Hall and
Hall and Sellers. Yeah.
after I think 1763, he sold the company. But even then, that's my note to say, well, he owned the company at one point in time, and that you
Right.
know, he, like what you're saying, and that's I
Yeah.
wasn't going to
Plus,
steal it.
there's so much influence of him too, from his Fujio design on the cover of it, and that's also why I had to have a Fujio scent because I got that, and I'm like, well, I got the note, got to get the scent now, right?
Good addition, Ontario.
Yeah, I think you guys have covered it again. History in your hands. I know with the you can also search by state if you want to get a note, and you happen to live on the East Coast, you can get a note from your state.
Yep, that's really cool.
That's really
Agreed.
cool. You sometimes have to dig deep in your pockets, depending on which state you're talking about, but
Right.
they're there.
All right, Steve, you're up next. We're doing okay on
Not
time, at
legitimately,
least.
just figuratively worse. Come
Yeah. All right,
on.
Steve.
Okay. Let's see. That one was taken. That one was taken. That one was taken. I'm going to go with a silver certificate. More importantly, the R&S experimental
Cool.
notes. The R&S experimental notes, they did an experiment where they were trying to test a different way of applying the coating on notes. Now, you have to understand that our notes aren't paper, as much as we like to call them paper money. It's cloth, and printing on cloth can be a little difficult. So there is a coating that is put on the notes so that the print will stick. And they did an experiment to alter that coating a little bit. And what they did is they took, I want to say, a million notes and put a red R on these notes to indicate that they were regular issue notes. And then they put a special coating on a million other notes and put a red S on those. And then they released them out in the wild, and they wanted to, when the notes came back, track to see how long they would last, what kind of wear they had. The problem is with the bright red R and the bright red S, everybody noticed that. So everybody saved them. And what did they get? They got less than like 10,000 of these notes back or something, somewhere in that. You know, it's just a ridiculous.
When there was like 100,000 of each came back, but that's
it. Yeah. So it was inconclusive whether it worked or not. But fast forward to now, people all wanted to have that S note because that was the special note, which means the R notes didn't get saved as much. So the R note is actually worth more, even though it's just a regular silver certificate. Of course, you kind of want to have the pair, but you're going to pay a little bit more for the R note. If you do decide to get the pair, condition, I would, you know, don't worry about condition, but I would try to get similar notes, notes that are in similar condition. That way, when you look at them and you're telling the story, you don't defeat the story by having one note of 20 and one note of 60.
I agree.
That
totally would be agree.
A much better way to do it.
Ontario comments.
Interesting piece of American history. I don't have a whole lot to say about it. Steve covered it well.
Yeah.
Good choice.
I'll just add to that, just 1935A. Thank you, Steve, for knowing your history. It had nothing to do with the paper. It was the coding. A lot of people, there's a lot of bad information going on about those. Not that it's hurting anybody. It just, that's me. Because there was a 1928 that was done with paper, and there was a 1935. There's two other tests that were done, but it was 1935A that was just the coding on it. So good. Excellent pick. I think that's, those are the only two notes you got a silver certificate and you got the R and the S. How cool is that to have, especially both of them?
Yeah.
Silver server.
Yeah. You guys hit pretty much all the talking points, well presented, and agreed. I highly agree on the pairing of similarities and condition wise. Like, it would look funky with having one super solid and then the other one looking ratty, you know, getting both ratty or getting both solid, in my opinion.
I wonder
but where. Yeah, they're cool. They're on the list. I don't own them. I need them. They're also on the list.
Yeah, I mean, I
anything with the story, I dig, right? And those have a story. So,
I have them, but they're not. I wouldn't call them rags, but they're definitely they match each other.
Yeah, that's good.
All right, Silver Surfer. These last four, we don't have to pick up the pace, but a little bit.
All right, let's pick it up. Pick up the pace. Okay, so this is my last choice in here.
It is.
All right, what do I want to sift here? You know what? No one's mentioned it yet either, I don't believe. So we're going to go with this. We're going to say a 1928, any denomination, doesn't really matter, year series-wise, for Federal Reserve notes with the big numerical seal. The color on them, the blackness of the ink, everything just feels and looks different to me than the later years. Again, I'm a five guy, so I have them in other denominations, but I got a bunch of the fives. I also got one that's starred. And they just freaking look old school to me. You know, they're just the scroll on the top and bottom, the color, super foresty, dark green. And I just love the large size numbers, to be honest. That's my choice.
Great. Awesome. Steve.
Thoughts? Yeah, the 1928 series, that's a turning point for currency for us because that's the first issue of small size currency. They came up with the genius idea. If we make the notes a third smaller, we'll save a third on the cost of paper and a third on the cost of ink. So that was the whole reasoning for doing that in the first place. And yeah, being one of the only series that has the numeric instead of the alpha, that's a really cool standout. That's something that you spot those instantly whenever you're at a show, because you can see those numbers.
Ontario?
Yeah, I love the 28 with the numbers because they're different and they're the only year they did that. So,
yeah, for me, great, great choice. I actually had this on my list From the $50 aspect, if I was to get one of these
Yeah.
notes, and it goes back to Steve and what you're saying about that.
That's what I had on my list is the 50.
Yeah. And you're right. Silver Surfer, you got to have the numerical, get the 1928 A, 28. I think there are A's with the numerical on that, but some there are not with Federal Reserves. And then the key for me is, this is, I hate hearing it, but I like, it's the redeemable in gold, right? That the legal obligation is there, and it's like, okay, so two things with this Federal
There it
Reserve
is.
notes, there it is, that kind of always irks my ire a little bit, is like, well, it's not a gold certificate. It was actually, Federal Reserve notes were backed by 40% gold until 1933. So they weren't a fiat currency, kind of. They were kind of. But I mean, when I hear that, whoa, redeemable in gold, anything, even a legal tender, you could walk in and get gold. So I just, that always drives me crazy when they're like, well, I can get gold. By the way, you had to go to the right place to do that if you ever wanted to change that out. But
And for
great,
the record,
great.
you can still take your Federal Reserve bills to buy gold.
Yes, you can. Yeah, what a current, a bullion dealer, whoa, a stacker. Yeah. Oh my God, it's fiat currency, but you buy your silver with fiat currency, and your dealer's more than happy to take it. Sorry, tangent. I know, I go that way. Awesome pick though. And Silver Surfer, you're spot on with the printing. I mean, that bold green, the bold black. Yes, and yes. All right, Ontario, you're up with number 10.
All right. My choice is a small size national. You can look for your city, your state. Many of them are covered. They printed, or rather made t over 10,000 different locations, I believe. So you're bound to find one near you. Again, you can spend whatever you like. So you buy a 5, a 10, a 20, or whatever you would like to spend. So you have very flexible.
I
But
that was number six on my list. And if you want something common, you can, they're fairly affordable, because Nationals, wildcat in pricing, right? It's
yeah.
they're like fancies. It's like, who knows what the price is gonna be. But you're holding up
Right.
a Michigan one with a large city. Those are pretty
Yep.
affordable for a
Yes, they're
small
not
size.
expensive.
And if you're looking for states that are affordable, again, that's kind of my deal. I always say that. But if you're looking, New York, Pennsylvania, Ohio are the big states that they are very, very affordable. You get into the Minnesotas, you get into the smaller states, it's much, much tougher.
Yeah. My memory is not what it used to be, but I don't think I paid but like maybe 125, 130 for this note, graded note. So
That has gone
it's,
up in price, I think, in the 50 for any national.
yeah,
But yeah.
so
Silver Surfer, comment.
yeah, no, glad someone mentioned this, because this is on my list as well, to mention. But there's as many possibilities of collecting nationals as there are nationals.
Yeah.
You can collect these things from capitals, your name, your first name, your last name. I've seen people do. State, cities, locations, the list goes on and on and on and on and on. My recommendation would be to just peek around where you're from and see if they have a hometown note. You guys mentioned the states that were very popular or that are very easily affordable. California, believe it or not, is not easily affordable. There's some tough cities of nationals in there, and there's some hardcore California collectors as well.
Steve, or no, me, I'm up. There's no,
Okay.
your comments.
Yes, my comments. Yeah, I knew somebody who was collecting by charter number, and they happen to have charter numbers 1, 2, and 3.
Oh, wow.
Silver Surfer, do you know who that was? I'm pretty sure that he had those, but he just muted
That was
it.
me. Sorry. I
That's
was trying
what
and I hit the wrong button on it. Yes, I have those. I have charter 1, 2, 3. And
Wow.
another way you can collect. My plan was to do 1 through 10. But there's some showstoppers in there. They're tough to find. I think like 7, 8, or something like that.
You didn't want to sell one of your children? I mean, what's the problem?
I know. You can always make consider such a thing. Well, actually, I can't now. That's a whole other story. But
well, the other thing, though, that I wanted to mention before we move on, though, is there are two types. There's the Type 1 and the Type 2 Nationals. The Type 1s were the original ones that came out from 1929 all the way to 1933. And then starting from 33 to just 35 is the Type 2, which have an additional charter number printed right next to the serial number. So if you were looking for even a common one, I would recommend trying to hunt down one of those Type 2s if it's available for the particular town, just to be different, because like I said, they were only available for 2 years.
My thing is that I tripped across on this also. I know I've already commented, but I'm going to make it longer. The brown seal. This is the only brown seal that we've got in this time period. You know, if you were going to put together a collection total, try to get all the color seals.
Yeah.
Of small size. I believe there's six of them. So anyways. All right. So I am up with mine, and I'm a little bit surprised that it's not gone. But my number five on my list was the 1928 $1 legal tender note. Mm-hmm. And that could go along with the $2 and $5. But that 1928 $1, again, one of the most undervalued notes, 1.872 million issued. There was, if you can get a star, that you would have to sell a child or two to get a star, because there was only 8,000 of them. They got a great story. They were printed in 1933, not 1928, and were issued in Puerto Rico not until November 1948. They got a really, really bizarre story. They are spendy. I shouldn't say they're not outrageous. I mean, for $100, you can get a kind of a really, you know, a 10 or an 8 and go up from there. They basically graded price for that. It almost doubles. It's weird with that one, the value of not at a 10 or an 8, obviously. But once you go up the ladder to 15, 20s, that ungraded of what you think would be a 10, a 15 or a 20, it doubles when it's graded. And it's just weird to see a $1 bill. It's similar to how we started Silver Surfer with that $100 note, right? To see a red seal $1, and it was only printed, super undervalued note, I still think, and even if it's a little bit more expensive today. So, Silver Surfer, comments?
Yep, absolutely agree. One of the best notes there is, in my opinion, small size wise. It's a great note. My favorite, small size one. They're cool, man. They're super rad. They look really cool too with the what is that, the 28? Is it the large? The large red 28 ones, which are also pretty neat. The 28s match up with the 23. When you have the two of them together, they look special. They're cool. They're sweet pieces. I love them. Yep. Weird history, weird story. You get a super solid bright red fire truck. Again, that fire engine truck red is cool.
Yeah, Steve.
I was going to say part of the reason for their value is the condition, because you're talking about a note that was in the tropics. Yeah. You're talking about a note that was constantly in high humidity. Always damp. That's
a good point.
Yeah, that's why you see so many of them that aren't in that good of shape. I think that's part of the reason that the price for the good ones are as high as it is. Doesn't change the fact how still underrated and undervalued they are, in my opinion. But that's why you're going to see a lot of them that are in rough shape like that, I think.
Ontario.
Yeah, I think you guys have covered it. I love those notes, the bright red seals. I like the large denomination. You know, where you see the one, the five, and the ten. The two and the five, and you see the numbers pop on the front of the note. Yeah, I think that's about it. You guys have covered it.
And it is one of the original funny bags. I forgot.
That's right.
All right, Steve, you're it, man. You're last up. It better be good.
Oh, it's great. Not as good as the $500 bill, though.
Wow.
I am taking a page from Dan, and I am cheating. And I'm going to cheat in a huge way, because I'm not going to pick a note. I'm going to pick any fractional currency from the Civil War. Anyone you want, get a fractional currency from the Civil War in your collection. During the Civil War, people were hoarding precious metals, and the government helped counteract that because business still had to function by printing postal currency, which was done through the post office, and it actually looked like stamps on the notes. And then by the third series, they were just called fractional currencies. There's the 3 cent, 5 cent, 10 cent, 15 cent. I mean, there's so many different denominations you can get. But my favorite one, the one that grabbed me, was the 50 cent. I want to say it was the third series featuring Abraham Lincoln. It's probably the most expensive fractional out there. Fourth series. It's probably the most expensive fractional out there featuring Lincoln. And it was the first note with Lincoln on it after his assassination. Then it was quickly replaced by the Stanton note, the best beard on currency. So you've got Lincoln and then his Secretary of War, Stanton, quickly replacing that note. So yeah, the Lincoln 50 cent fractional, that would be my choice, but really any fractional, I believe.
Great pick, Ontario.
Love all fractionals for their history. Steve covered it well. And I'm going to cheat just a little bit because in my comment of fractionals, I'm also going to show one.
Uh-huh.
And this is an obsolete fractional. So
that's a whole nother way to go.
That was going to be my next note if we had time. And so don't overlook obsolete fractionals. All obsolete notes are not large. So.
Wow. Way to sneak in a baker's dozen.
How about that?
I don't. Yeah, my wife actually, that's my nickname, is obsolete fractional. That's what she calls me. That, yeah, I mean.
That's appropriate.
That is, it is. But Steve, I thought for sure you'd hit the spinner note, which
yeah, I was gonna say on my
list. This was spinner note specifically on my list.
Yeah, I wasn't going to go with spinner because when I first got into fractionals, it was because of that Lincoln note.
Yeah, that's a great note.
Then I heard about spinner and that opened it up for me, but the Lincoln note is what started it.
Yeah, they're cool. I got the spinner notes. I have the Washington, I think it's what, fourth year or fourth series, I want to say, the same as that Lincoln, I believe. The where it's like the red seal in the back. Yeah, the quarter. There you go. Got that Washington one. I think that's actually the only actionals I got. But yeah, they're so rad. They're such interesting pieces of history. I love all that time frame wise with all the different notes and also things like encased postage stamps, which I have one. It's super cool. You could even consider if you really wanted to drop dough for any fractionals and get like basically a representation of all of them, you can look at the fractional shields, which are super, super rad. But yeah, so I mean, it's really cool. Good choice.
Wow. Well, that's 12 notes. 12 notes, we got to 12. That's a pretty good accomplishment. That we only got to 8 the last time. This is one of the funnest videos I think that we've done so far. Thoughts?
Yeah, it was neat to go down memory lane, getting because these were some of the first notes that I had gotten. That's generally where you start when you start collecting is with small size notes because that's what you're familiar with. So I hadn't given a lot of thought to a lot of these notes in recent times. So it was good to refresh my memory on some of this.
Yeah, good point. Ontario?
I really enjoyed this video. In fact, all of my small size recommendations are checked off now between everybody's picks. Nice. So I'll have to make a new list next time.
New list. And Silver Surfer.
No, I just want to say thanks, guys, for having me on. It was a lot of fun. As I mentioned in the beginning, that you guys are doing some incredible things with this stuff. And keep it up. It's really rad. I know there's a lot of people that get enjoyment out of these roundtables. And so, and it's just fun making it, you know? Fun hanging out with you guys. You guys are pretty good. Even you, Dan. You guys are all pretty good.
Appreciate that. He's not wrong. But, yes, so stay on that. This is a spot is always there for you, Mr. Silver.
Thanks, brother.
It seriously is. We started it that way and said the spot's always open. So if you can join us, you're joining us. That is it, folks, for Currency Roundtable number 8. I can't believe it's been number 8 already. That's awesome. It has been fun. And we'll see you in June. That's it.